Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. It's a Friday night before Christmas and it seems to be goodwill to all men in the defending department. Tonight I'm joined by Ellis Mel. Ellis, how are you?
Hello. I wouldn't say very happy. I'm relieved, kinda. But yeah, I'm all right.
Nice. Carl, hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good, mate. I'm not good. I've had enough. But it gets full. I don't know. Goodwill to all men.
Take the day off like the Arsenal defence did today, because, you know, they don't seem to want to hurry themselves or play any better. So do what they do and have a little rest for 90 minutes.
Absolutely. Right. Okay, in the chat box, we have the Walrus and the Hedgehog and 235100, Jesse Hitman, who was first in the chat box tonight. Well done. George Constantino, Corey Austin, the wonderful Corey Austin. Did I mention on 235100? I'm not sure what's going on. MJL, Guardian, David Lancaster. Oh, who else is there? Lambs is there. Oh, J Rob is there. George Constantino. Dio is there. Oh, I didn't miss somebody. Cactus Jack 81, Cayman Arsenal Forever, J Rob, formerly Noza, Arsenal Amar, Rudy Wilson. Rudy Wilson's there. I haven't seen Rudy for a while. Stephen Edwards. Oh, Steve. If I've missed you, I do apologise. There we go. That's enough of that for the time being. Right. Michael Harriman's there. Joe Madeira, 1993. Stan the Man, 450. Junior Gunner. Ryan Cost, Fabrice Nazan, Core Like Desi's there. Right, okay, that's it for now. Let's just get into the game. Carl, Liverpool tonight at the Emirates, Friday before Christmas. And the game started off like the clappers, didn't it?
Yeah, the game had all the hallmarks of being an absolute classic. And to an extent, to the neutral, it was. From an Arsenal point of view, and I suppose from a Liverpool point of view as well, it just shows the deficiencies and also the greatness in both of us, in our teams. Going forward, both teams, absolutely brilliant. You know, you can't fault them, but defending-wise, my word, it was just absolutely ridiculous going forward. Defending. Just, you think to yourself, professional footballers, you work on the training pitch day after day after day on supposedly these things, and you don't execute them in the game, and it's just weird how that happens. Like I said, the game was extremely entertaining for a neutral. You know, I showed in our chat box, I got a resting heart rate of 56, and at one point my heart rate was over like 100, and I wasn't doing anything. I was sitting down watching TV. You think to yourself, why does Arsenal do this to me? Like, how can Arsenal give me a heart attack? It's just ridiculous, like, and I don't understand it. So yeah, I think we're going to the teams. I'm also Jason. So the team lineup was kind of almost what I expected it, minus I think probably Iwobi. I didn't expect Iwobi to start. I thought we'd go with three men in midfield just to try and combat Liverpool's attacking prowess, because going forward, Liverpool are brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant. And I thought we would obviously go with three men in midfield. Maybe not a Coquelin, but I thought maybe we'd start Elneny in midfield, just to even have him sit in midfield and just sweep up anything that comes back. But we went with Iwobi. I personally think there's a mistake, and I think he didn't have a very good game today. I think his passing was way, way, way off, and he gave the ball away so much. It was unreal. But apart from that, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, conservative, at the back was not a shot, because if we didn't play midweek and we played Kolasinac, so that gave a big indication that he wasn't going to start Kolasinac. And I personally don't think he had a very good game. I think his positioning wasn't very good. Yes, he's young and he's learning his trade, but I think he's learning his trade in the wrong position. I don't think he's a left back. Maybe Arsene Wenger's trying to mold him into playing a left back, or mold him into being more defensive minded. But I just think to go into a game in arguably the best attacking, against the best attacking people in the in the Premier League, was a lot to ask for.
Yeah, it was a big ask for Maitland-Niles tonight, and we'll come to him a bit later. but he had a torrid time. He had a torrid time. Salah's on form, and he just didn't know where he was a lot of the time. You know, you can't blame the kid. He's young. He did his best, but if you're going to play in the Premier League, you need to be Premier League ready. Tell you what, let's go straight to the first goal, actually. Ellis. You know, the game had been back and forth, no clear-cut chances. And then Salah has lost AMN. He cuts the ball in. There's a deflection off Koz's foot. It goes up in the air kindly for Coutinho, and he doesn't mess about. He puts it in the back of the net. What were your thoughts on it?
Initially, like, I don't want to try and scapegoat Ainsley Maitland-Niles because he is quite young, and I know we're going to talk about him anyway. But I think you've got to be really sort of positionally aware against this sort of Liverpool front four, I guess you could call it, because they're all energetic, they've all got pace, they're all going to get past you, and they've scored a lot of goals between them, especially Zali was on form, and he just let him get past him, and he had so much space to run in. He eventually, the sort of once he got past him, the defenders, as they did for a lot of the goals, seemed to be all drawn to the ball and leave space in the areas of the pitch that another Liverpool player can move in. And because, like I've just mentioned, they are so energetic and pacey, and they'll get into those positions and they'll pick up the ball. And it's just frustrating. And I think one of the guys, the commentators on the TV, was saying you need your fullbacks really need to be positionally aware against these forwards. And up until then, they were all right. And we can moan about the guy and we can say maybe Kolasinac or Monreal would have been better, but we'll never know. But you know what it's like with our fullbacks. They do tend to push too far up the pitch, and that is where Liverpool are going to hurt us. And essentially, that's what happened. Yes, the goal was slightly fortunate. Obviously, one, Salah put the ball in. Koscielny tried to get tight to him. It came off Koscielny, looped up, and it was in sort of a position for Coutinho just to nod it past Cech, and Cech was sort of in a poor position. But you can't really blame the guy because obviously it's taken a big deflection. But it's frustrating, and I think the way we'd set up before the game or before the goal was to try and break that press by trying sort of longer balls. A lot of the times, I think Kyle mentioned it in the chat box, we're trying to go long to Lacazette, which maybe isn't in his game. Like someone like Giroud, that might be a bit better, but obviously we haven't got him because of his injury. And we seemed to give them a lot of respect, sit off them, try and beat that press. And it frustrates me because I think if maybe we'd been a bit positionally sound, that goal maybe wouldn't have happened. And that then changes our game plan straight away to play sort of a bit more reserve game and then go a goal down in the, I think it was the 26th minute. It makes you have to change your game plan. And from then on, well, not really in that half, in the second half, the game opened up a lot more. And obviously you can tell by the scoreline that was a very open game.
Yeah, it was. Carl, your thoughts on the first goal, mate? Go nuts.
I think that I don't understand why when the ball comes in and our two centre mids, they do an effort to get back, they get into the box and then they stop running. I don't get that because I just watched the goal back and they literally, as the ball's breaking and they try to get back, they're running and as the ball loops up, it's almost like Xhaka stops and just watches to the player head it in. And you think to yourself, if you apply just a little bit of pressure to him, there's a chance that he could have misheaded it. And you think to yourself, why do they just ball watch? It's so weird to think that, you know, these guys are meant to be people who are professional footballers and a little touch. And I'm not saying foul him in the box. That's ridiculous. But if you jump with him, there's always a chance that you're going to put him off the header. And they just watch the ball go in and just watch him head it in. And you think to yourself, why are you doing that? You're professional footballers. You're trying to stop a player from scoring a goal and you just do nothing to combat it. And it's just systematic of our defending recently. It's just really, really bad. And I don't get why they do that.
It's not the first time, is it? I mean, to be fair to Maitland-Niles, there was no cover in front of him all game. There was no cover in front of him all game. But if you're going to play left back, you need to know where the winger is. And we know what Salah's been like. And he just did not know where he was. Combined with that, where was Nacho there? You know, the midfield.
You just said, it's not the first time. It's not the second time. It's not the third time. It's not the fourth time. So it makes it even worse, doesn't it?
This is the point to your mate. It's the same old mistakes, the same old nonsense. And the first goal was a joke. Start to finish, it was a joke. You know, yes, they got lucky with the deflection, but you make your own luck. Why have we allowed Salah so much space? You know, why is this all going on? What, you know, what's happening there? And you know, the defenders didn't seem to know what to do. The midfield didn't seem to know what to do. It was pretty disheartening. Moving on from that, we saw Liverpool, Ellis, get a number of different opportunities after that. And, you know, due to at times we defended okay. More the point, most of the time they screwed it up. And that's the reason, you know, we didn't lose more goals in the first half. Talk me about your thoughts on the way we played first half.
I think frustration probably summed up perfectly, really. Like the way we played, I mentioned it in the chat box earlier when we were talking. We used to be, people used to say the problem with Arsenal is that we try and pass it in. But that first half, we couldn't pass for toffee. So many players were turning the ball over, making needless errors, trying the sort of long ball that wouldn't work out, or trying to pass to someone who's got two players that can intercept it. And the Liverpool players were just intercepting passes, and they had so many chances to probably put it away and make it more than 1-0. And we were quite lucky to really go into halftime owning a goal trailing. But players that, especially people like Ozil, who everyone assumes is good at passing, and we know how much his quality is and how good he is at finding the right person in space, and he's technically quite good. But some of his passes are going astray. And for me, the two people that sort of stuck out the most, or the ones that I could sort of pick out in that first half, was Xhaka and Iwobi. Both of them were turning over the ball needlessly. Iwobi would sort of win it, and it was just poor, really. Even Jack Wiltshire, a guy who has now played, I think that's the first time in a long time he's played three Premier League games in a row, and it looked like someone, it was the first time he's played three Premier League games in a row, because he just turned the ball over a lot in that first half. But he wasn't the only one. It was the whole team. We looked nervous and scared, and it just makes it worse. It's a theme with this Arsenal side. It tends to happen. Something will happen in a game, whether it's going a goal behind or a player getting off injured or having a little scary moment, and the players just collectively shit the bed and make poor decisions and poor passes, and it could have been a lot worse. Thankfully, it wasn't. And I think after seeing that first half, I'm happy with the result. I think that's a fair result. And Liverpool, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be very frustrated with the chances they had that they couldn't score, and the fact that they've let us back into that game after they were 2-0 up at one point. So it's frustrating. And it's something that has been a theme for Arsenal for not just this season, sort of creeping into last season as well. We used to be technically good at passing. And for me, we're not good enough in midfield. There's not enough quality there for me to challenge for a Premier League title.
No, I totally agree with that. The problem is as well, the two-man midfield is a really difficult ask. It's a really difficult ask, especially when, you know, the ball is coming back at you all the time. It's either Sanchez losing it, it will be losing it. They don't cover back. They don't cover the left or right back, and they don't drop down to help the midfield out. So this midfield has had these problems for a long time now. Let's go on to Iwobi, Carl. He touched more often than he hit one of our players in the first half, didn't he? It was really, really frustrating.
I think he didn't have a very good game, and I can't remember the last time he had a very good game for us. I can kind of remember this time last season. I'm sure we said exactly the same thing. He kind of fell off. It was frustrating because you want the guy to do so well. When he plays for Nigeria and you see him do all these things, you think to yourself, oh, the guy's got potential, he can go on to do so much. But tactically aware, he's just not. The simple passes he can't get right. And I don't understand that. Like, this Iwobi project, you know, has it come to fruition? No, it hasn't. You know, we need to... He still hasn't settled on a proper position. Because where does he play? Does he play wide right? Does he play wide left? Does he play in the centre? You know, what is his position? And if Arsene Wenger doesn't know, and he's a young guy, you can't keep moving him about and expect him to play well everywhere. And I kind of, you know, I'm not Wenger bashing, I'm really not, but you keep moving him about and then expect him to play well everywhere. He needs to have a run of games in a fixed position. When he was playing, I think the season before last, when he was playing wide left, and he was doing that really well when he was putting Alexis up front, he was doing very well. Then we moved him into the centre. Then we moved him to the right. We can't keep doing that. And I'm not making excuses for the guy, because for me, as again, a professional footballer, if you play anywhere in that front three, you should be able to play anywhere well. But you think to yourself, why is his game dropping off so much? Why can't he do the simple things well? Why is it simple passes he gets wrong? Why is it he can't track back? Why is he, as Steve says, like gets fucked after 50-60 minutes? Like, it's just, it's very weird with Robbie. He's an enigma, because you know the guy's got potential and you know he can go on to do good things, but at the moment he's just not doing it. And the excuse of, oh, how he's young, he's coming into it, he's gone now. Yes, he is still young, but he's an established first team player. He's in the first team regularly, so why is he still getting the basics wrong?
Let's come in on that. Give me your thoughts.
It's hard, because it's a player that I do find quite frustrating, but he is a player who offers something that some of the other guys in the team don't. He does have the ability to dribble past people, to take defenders out of the game, but he just doesn't do it regularly enough. And I'm not sure, I don't know his stats, I don't know if he's contributed to many goals this season, but it doesn't feel like he has. I can't draw back on my memory and think of a time when I thought, well, yeah, it was a good goal from Weber or a good assist. He's just, similar to Carl, I don't think he really knows the position. I think when we were playing the three at the back, he didn't suit the positions that we had in that formation. I think he's probably better as an attacking midfielder, maybe a cam. I think that's how he plays when he plays for Nigeria. But on the wings, he just doesn't track back enough. He seems to have this issue as well that I think Steve picks out a lot when he's on podcasts about how in like 60 minutes he just seems to be fucked and he just can't run. And today he was bad. He was poor today. And you can see that his passing was poor. His decision-making was poor. He just didn't have a very good game. But unfortunately, we've got a lot of players out of form at the moment. For example, Sanchez, he's not out of form. Awobi's out of form. Danny Welbeck's only just coming back, obviously, from another injury. So it's very difficult to see who could be probably play in that position other than Awobi. So he's really there out of necessity, really, than anything else. But it's difficult. I feel for the lad, because he does seem to, whenever there's an international break and Nigeria play, and he seems to crop up with a goal or assist here or there. But for Arsenal, he just can't seem to replicate that. And it's difficult. I think he needs to do better. Perhaps he could do better with a loan. Maybe that would help him. I don't know. Or maybe that might spell the end of his Arsenal career. Who knows? He's a difficult one. And I want him to do better, but he just doesn't quite cut it for me.
But this is the thing. Chill Doctor puts in the box here. Iwobi is already better than Theo. He has a brain, a better touch, better movement and balance, more versatile and creative. I don't see it. He's got a lovely pair of feet, okay? And when you're playing for Nigeria, fine. But the standard of opposition you're playing against when you play for Nigeria is of a far lower quality than the Premier League. His decision-making is absolute dog shit. It's fucking awful. His decision-making is the worst in the team.
But that's across the whole team, Jason. The whole team.
No, positions. Yeah. Yeah, but bear me a second. Even when we're playing well, Iwobi's decision-making is poor, okay? And he's a young guy. He's got all the talent in the world, okay? He needs to deliver on that now, and he needs to calm himself down. And whether it's watching video to learn or, you know, just spending a bit of extra time in the training pitch, whether it's talking to other pros, because he's got these fantastic feet. He's got the talent. We know he's got the talent. I'd love to see this guy do well. I would love to see him do well. But at the moment, in any way, shape or form, you know, people compare him to Theo. Theo scored 19 goals last season. Theo offers a goal threat. It won't be hard. He delivers anything. And I want him to do well and I want him to do better. But you cannot justify putting him in this team the way he's playing at the moment. It's just awful.
But who else do you play, Jason? That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
I've got to be honest. You know, I'd play a three-man midfield, because at the moment, you saw tonight, especially in this first half, you saw the midfield just get bypassed.
Okay, so you play your three-man midfield. Who is that and who then plays in the...
Tonight, for argument's sake, tonight, I'd have put Maitland-Niles in the midfield, Kolasinac at left back, okay? Drop Iwobi, and then you could have Sanchez or, you know, wherever, and Sanchez, Ozil, and Lacazette as your three up top, okay? But the bottom line is, you know, you had a passenger tonight in that game. And that was really difficult to watch because his confidence isn't being done any good by this. His confidence must be shattered, the poor bugger. You know, there were two balls straight out into touch. And, you know, you don't like to see him do that because, you know, he is still a young guy. And even though he's playing for Nigeria, at that age, okay, you know, you're still a little bit unsure of yourself. You're still not, you know, you don't get the full confidence of a guy who's 24, 25. And so every time that happens, he must be kicking himself.
But our ball retention in the whole team is poor.
It is.
Top of all passing stats. I'm quite sure we are very low down in passing stats now because we just can't pass to each other. And it's very weird how our players are always static. We get to the final third and they just stop running.
You've got very poor movement up top. I mean, I hate to pick on Iwobi again. I really don't like this. But his movement's not great. You've got Sanchez dropping way too far back. There's no out balls. There's only two in the middle. They get bullied, no problem. They just get outnumbered. We'll just drop one in on them each and every time. All of a sudden, you've got no passing outlet. Or they're strangled from passing it forward. Okay, you know, it's very difficult when the movement is not up to mustard and you're not going to get the greatest movement in the midfield from Jack and Xhaka because they're not as mobile. You know, they're not as mobile as others. But it starts from the top as well and Sanchez is offering you very little in that way. Iwobi offers you next to nothing. Ozil, it's all lateral looking for space. There are no runners going forward, so there's not even a long ball over the top. So of course, you know, even from a goal kick out, you know, there's got to be some form of movement, and we don't do it very well. But my biggest concern tonight was, you know, end of that first half, they seemed to be able to just cut through us like a knife through butter. It was difficult to watch. Carl, your thoughts on why they found it so easy to cut through us?
Because our midfield is not cohesive, you know, and whether it's Ramsey and Xhaka, whether it's Jack and Xhaka, whether it's Jack and Ramsey, whether it's whoever, it doesn't matter, whoever in midfield, the two-man midfield for Arsenal doesn't work because we don't have someone who is defensively minded. I hate to harp on about this, but when we had Santi and Coquelin, it worked. Simply for, everyone knows the hatred, not hatred, but I don't like Coquelin and nor does Jason, but at the same time, it worked because you had Coquelin who knew he had to sit. And then you had Santi who could go off and go and do his thing. He could go off.
Sorry, I'm going to cut in here. That wasn't happening last season. It was Santi who was playing deeper and it was Coughlin playing further up the park and we were still getting bypassed.
That's because it changed. If you remember, Arsene Wenger wanted Coughlin to go and win the ball high up the pitch for some unknown reason. We don't know this. And I hate people saying, oh,
he wanted to play the Juventus system as Pirlo, as the deep line playmaker, and Pogba as the up and down midfielder with the ball further up, who can do something with the ball. Unfortunately, asking Francis Coughlin to do it, who's just not good enough.
No, you're right. And this is why I don't know if Xhaka was meant to be the new Francis Coughlin. And John will tell you that Xhaka wasn't that player in Germany. You know, I think if we played a midfield three and you said to Xhaka, you know what, just distribute the ball. We had one person defending, a Coquelin-type player, someone who's better than Coquelin. You had someone who's a runner, like Ramsey, who's going to get forward. And then you had Xhaka, who just distributes the ball. It may work, but we haven't never played that. We've never gone into a game with a three-man midfield to go out and actually do that. And yes, Arsene Wenger is absolutely, he's a brilliant manager. You know, the guy's managed, you know, 700-800 games, absolutely brilliant. But at the same time, you have to understand that sometimes it needs changing, and sometimes the philosophy doesn't work. This free man at the back, it worked for a little while. It stopped working. It's gone back to a four. We need to try and play a three man in the field. And at the same time, the reason I think we're not doing it is to try and accommodate Alexis and or Ozil. We need to drop one of those in order to play a three man midfield.
You can play a three man midfield by dropping a Wobi, to be fair. Matt Gimley Carr is in the chat box. Say hello to Matt Gimley Carr.
Hello, Matt Gimley Carr.
We got Joe Madeira in the chat box. We've got JoeV82 in the chat box. We got Matt Sanasi, Jeffrey O'Hara. We've got Jacques Joseph. He's been tickling my bones today. Joe Madeira, 1993. Nikhil Nadu. Rudy Rastlos, Omaz, Terry Ronry. Dimfifi. I think I've got that right. I have mentioned Omaz, haven't I? JH is in there. Carlito Elguna.
Oh, whatever you do, don't mention Tom. He's just in there giving me shit because he's my friend.
No. I'm going to ignore Tom. I'm going to ban him. I banned one tonight already. But thing. Chandra Skaran, Rama Murthy. I've nailed that again. I'm so chuffed and I nailed that. He's in there. It's a bit of a dodgy comment. David Lancaster's in there. JH is in there. Oh, there's somebody else I wanted to mention. Oh, God. Have I mentioned Pablo Amar? Pablo Amar's in there. Loki 73 is in there as well. Chill Doctor. Right. Those are the mentions. Guys, if you can give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. Fro Growers in there. Schwinn Lacker Gunman's in there. If you can give us a thumbs up, really appreciate it. It's Friday night before Christmas, and we are up at 10:30 doing a bloody podcast. And we don't get paid for it. And after watching that roller coaster, I just don't know what to say. My nerves are frayed. So if you can give us a thumbs up, like, share, the usual business. On iTunes as well, a 5-star one would be lovely. Jacques Joseph's just come up with, I gave a thumbs up for Chris Carpenter. I heard he fancies those. Love a good Carpenter thumb up the bum joke. There's nothing wrong with that. So the first half came to an end. We were on the back foot. Question of both of you now. Should we have been 4 or 5 down?
Yes, we really should have been at least 3. I think Liverpool missed a whole host of chances in the first half and some very good saves. One particular good save by Cech. We didn't really go for the second goal, but I'll do it quickly. We lost the ball high up the pitch. I think Ainsley Maitland-Niles lost the ball and it was passed out to Firmino, and he literally ran sure one half of the pitch, almost a 1-2 with Salah. Salah had the wide open space, had a shot. Yes, it was a deflection. Should Cech have got there? I think you're very harsh because of the deflection, but I think maybe you should have got at least fingertips on it. But again, it just shows how easy it is to get through our whole team. Like, you've got to think to yourself, I know, the ball gets lost high up the pitch, and yeah, shit like that happens. It does. But literally a 1-2 and Salah's all by himself, and he's got like 3 or 4 players around him. I think Jack was there, and I think Koscielny was there as well. And you think to yourself, all this space, like the whole pitch, and you're thinking, one way is Bellerin. Why is it Bellerin back covering? It's just so, like you said, Jason, it's very easy to get through our squad. Through our team, it's just really bad how easy it actually is. And mistakes, you remember when we played Liverpool away and the same thing sort of happened? It's just mistake after mistake, and we just leave it open. And it shouldn't be like that. And like I said, a shot from the outside of the area, should Cech have got there, is a very harsh deflection. Just about, does he cover himself in glory? Probably not. Not giving the shot enough credit because it was right in the corner. Maybe, but I still think that Cech should have got there, and it's just too easy for Salah to run in on goal and have a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellis, your thoughts on the first half?
Yeah, we definitely should. I've only just noticed Carl's fucking tag as well. I hate Liverpool fans. Love it. Absolutely love it. but yeah, we probably should have been a few goals down, definitely more than one anyway. There was a chance where, like I think Carl mentioned it, Cech made a good save against Salah, and then obviously Mane had that chance where he went for the audacious sort of overhead kick, which was, for me personally, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be pissed with him though. I thought he probably had time to take it down and set himself a bit properly, or maybe like lay it off to another player, but he obviously went for the spectacular, and it was close, but at the end of the day it's still a miss and it still gives us a chance to get into the game. But you just got to count your blessings, really. Maybe that was a bit of a Christmas miracle that we weren't down three or four goals at half time, and obviously we went into the second half and went another goal down, but we managed to somehow get a draw out of that. And I do agree with Carl's frustrations at the same mistakes that we're making against Liverpool. And I think there was a stat they said when I was watching the game that that's now 17 goals Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool have scored against us. And you can see why, because the system that Arsenal play with the players we've got does not work against that pressing system that Liverpool work. The way to beat the press is to be able to get it, to beat that press is to get it either over it with good distribution by the goalkeeper or from the back line. But we just can't manage it, especially with the midfield we've got at the moment. It just doesn't work. It's the case of a lot of the players were sort of holding on to the ball too long, or like we've mentioned, making a poor decision or a bad pass. And that's where the mistakes happen. Liverpool pick up the ball in our half and they've got good chances. Luckily today, they didn't make the most of their chances. They still scored three goals, so it could have been a lot worse. But we've managed to get three and get a draw out of that, which is good in a way, I suppose.
I think the first half was summed up by they showed one of the Liverpool efforts. They didn't score from the sun, I don't think. But we had five men in defence, four of them running in one direction towards the ball and only one man covering another runner. It was exactly the same as the United game. No lessons learned. Pathetic.
It's such a theme. All of these, like, if you look at some of these goals, it is a player, a Liverpool player, X, Y, Z, whoever, picking the ball up in space and then two, three, sometimes even four Arsenal players all not necessarily being completely drawn to the ball, but for the second, a few seconds being drawn to that ball, and then another runner running off and they're picking up space. And it's just something needs to be done. I don't know if it's the coaching, if it's like...
Of course it's the coaching. Yeah. It's been happening for so long. Come on now. No more bullshit, okay? No more bullshit. It's fucking schoolboy football. It's schoolboy football. It's embarrassing.
But it's like...
It's fucking... And these guys are international footballers. Embarrassing. Right. Taylor Lippi's in the chat box. Or Path Sane's in the chat box. Sidju7549 is in there. Track Nuts in there. Basti Liz is in there. Here we go. If I've missed you, I do apologise. Right, second half, lads, second half. And these are my actual notes. 5-10 minutes into the first half and it was more dog shit.
Yeah, it kind of was. And then we managed to get the goal, which was, we run the ball quite high up the pitch, and I just remember Bellerin just whipping this cross in, and was it Bellerin? Yeah, it was Bellerin. And I remember, I absolutely think that Bellerin can't cross for shit. I do. And I remember when he crossed it in, I was like, no, pass it. Because I didn't want him to put the ball in the box. Because usually, when he puts the ball in the box, it usually goes out for a corner or a throw-in. And Joe Gomez at the back post switches off. And Alexis goes right in there, gets his head down low. You know, he risks his head because if Gomez swings a foot at that, you know, he could be taking his head off. But credit to Alexis, you know, he gets in there at the back post, gets his head down, heads the ball between Mignolet's legs. You know, should Mignolet have done better? Yeah, of course he should have. But at the end of the day, it gets us right back into the game. And after that happened, I don't know, I'm not just saying this, but I genuinely thought we're going to get another goal here. Because I just thought that Liverpool heads dropped. And I don't know if it was just Arsenal hamped up and the crowd got behind them, and literally we got in there and it was like, okay, now we've got to go on and get a goal. And, you know, Alexis didn't have the best game. He didn't. But credit where credit's due, he got there at the time to get his head onto the ball. But I think it's more a defensive mistake by Joe Gomez than anything else.
Well, you're a goal ahead of me, pal. I was going to talk about the Salah goal next.
We just did.
Carl talked about it earlier, didn't he?
But I wanted to come back to it. Never mind. Okay, well, we've covered that off anyway. So, yeah, the Sanchez goal, Ellis, he wasn't having a great game. He really wasn't. But as is the quality of the guy, there was a great cross in for him and he made the run and he made no mistake on the finish. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he just wanted it more than that Liverpool defender, really. He is frustrating because I'm sure we'll come on to it when we talk about the other goals. He's directly at fault for one of the goals that Liverpool score, and he wasn't having a good game, but he still manages to come up with a goal. I was personally said in the chat box that we should have probably dropped him before then, and I wanted him to be subbed because I don't know if Wenger's trying to play him into form, but it's not working. He's literally turning the ball over left, right and centre. There are chances that we could create, but don't happen because he turns it over and they lead to goals, or they just stop us from scoring a goal or creating a chance. And it was more of the same today. He did seem more up for it today, though. I would admit, like, he's always lost the ball. He's always tried things and turned the ball over. But I think when he was in this first couple of seasons, he tracked back and win it more. And recently, he hasn't been doing that. But today, he did it a bit more. He still managed to screw up a chance and basically help Liverpool get a goal. But for his goal, he wanted it more. He got there and he got there before the Liverpool defender did, and he buried it. And he does have the quality. But for me, his head's not here, Arsenal. He doesn't want to be here. And I think that directly affects his game. If he was to go on to another team, whether it be Man City or somewhere else, I don't think he'd be in the form he is for us, purely because he'd be more up for it than what he is at the moment. He'd track back more and cover his mistakes. And one of the problems I think of Arsenal now is there's still players in the team that look to Sanchez to be our talisman, who is the guy that scored so many goals last season. They'll pass him the ball and then he just holds on for it too long, turns it over. And soon it's going to get to a point where the guys in the team aren't going to want to pass to him because they just think, well, he's not going to pass it back to us. He's just going to try and do however many players, turn it over, and then we're going to have to try and defend again. And he's either got to be dropped and benched. But then we've had the discussion who then plays in front of him. Iwobi's not in form. Danny Welbeck's just come back. Giroud's injured. How do you rotate this team to cover Sanchez? Is there anyone that, even in Sanchez's poor form, is going to be able to offer what you can offer? Because at the end of the day today, he did get a goal. Can you see Alex Iwobi getting that goal? Can you see other players in our team who we weren't playing today, like a Theo Walcott, getting that goal? I can't.
Until you change the formation, you're never going to know. No. And you have to actually change the formation, because if you had a bit more pace, because the one thing about us tonight again is we had no pace. The only pace we've got in that team, AMN's got a bit of pace, Hector's got a bit of pace. I know Theo gets a rough ride, and deservedly so, but that boy's got a bit of pace. And if you use pace correctly, you can scare defences. But it's all about using it correctly. I don't see us at the moment using the players we have in the correct manner. It's almost as if we're trying to force this formation. And to be honest with you, when you look at our defending from up top through to the Houdini midfield, through to the Keystone Cops defence, it's just not working. And we can slag Bellerin off all we want, but bottom line is he's getting no protection whatsoever.
But Jason, we played
none whatsoever.
Left back. What does that tell you?
Yeah, no. I'm talking about, we're talking about both of them now. Maitland-Niles and Hector had absolutely no ever. And that says everything about us as a football team. It says everything about the football team. We do not take defending seriously enough.
But the thing is, we used to be good at attacking, so you sort of got away with it a bit, but now at the moment we're not even that good at attacking, so it really shows, and it's even more highlighted.
Really difficult, isn't it? Really difficult. Right, Ellis, I'm going to stay with you. So after Sanchez's goal, well, less than 2 minutes later, Xhaka decides to fire a Scud missile at Mignolet. Talk me through that.
Well, what happened to me watching at home, I missed the Zala and the Sanchez goal as I was getting
Whoa, stop. Be in sport, Mark, whatever your name is, go fuck yourself and stop spamming my chat box. Goodbye, fuck off.
Toodaloo.
Carry on.
Anyway, yeah, so I missed the first two goals, and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I'm not going. Well, I was watching it with my dad. He goes, oh, you just stay in the kitchen because we're scoring goals. And I was like, no, I'm coming back in. I'm going to see a goal. And literally, as soon as I sat myself down back on the sofa, there it was. Xhaka picks up the ball. He goes straight up to hit it, and it goes in. And I was on my knees celebrating. We brought it back to 2-2 after me, thinking we'd probably be even more goals down before halftime. And I was quite happy with it, but Mignolet, in all honesty, probably should have done better, but fuck him. Who cares? I'm just glad the goal went in. Xhaka hit it well. Mignolet, fuck him. It went in. And it's, we've talked about Xhaka. I've mentioned that he's not played particularly well in this game, and he is out of form. He's a player, I think. He's got so much quality in his passes. Like, he can pick a player out from long range. He's got a good range of passing, but it's the decision making that he does that baffles me. And you'd think someone who plays in that sort of position would be a bit better at decision making. Maybe it's the whole team around him, and maybe he's just a bit nervous, or maybe it's because he doesn't get time or space or many options. It could be a number of things, but he can hit him, and when he does hit him, they go in like that. And he scored a couple last season against, I can't remember now, but he scored a couple like that. And it's nice to have someone who can shoot from range, because to be honest, these Arsenal teams of the however many years, 10 years probably, we've not really had people, and then maybe Sanchez now as well, who would like to hit it from range, whether it's trained out of them or not. It's just nice to see one. Because I like a goal like that. It's nice. I'd rather see someone smash it, spank it in from X amount of yards and tapping it in from a little bit of tiki-taka. I'd rather someone spank the goal in. And I liked the goal. And like I said, it got me on my knees.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty. It did do the hokey-cokey on the way through. But Mignolet wasn't far off. Carl, should Mignolet have scored it? And what did you think of it?
Mignolet should have scored it.
Saved it. Sorry.
Yes. Do you remember Thierry Henry a while ago against Manchester United when he hit the ball and the ball moved against Van der Sar? And it was almost like that. I mean, this one was from further out, but the way the ball moved, it reminded me of that goal against Man United when I rescored it. It was brilliant. I mean, at that time, I was sitting on the floor in my house watching the game, and I've got my TV sort of mounted on the wall. And as Iwobi kicked the ball to Xhaka, I was like, go on, son. And as it went in, I think I shouted, oh, shit! Like, because literally, you didn't expect that to go in. I don't think anyone expected it to go in. And Mignolet, going back to Jason's question, yes, he should have saved that. Let's be honest. If he had gone with two hands, he would have. Why goalkeepers go with one hand, I don't know. If he had gone with two and protected it, yes, he would have gone over. But, you know, credit where credit's due. The shot was fantastic. It really was. It was, like Jason said, it was like a Scud missile. It was just a thing of beauty. And, you know, let's hope that he doesn't... I'm in catch 22 situation right now, because you're hoping that he does it more often because it might go in, and then you're hoping he doesn't get too hyped from this and think to yourself, okay, I'm now going to do this all the time now because I think I can score. You know, who knows? But the goal, give the credit to Chris Drew, is absolutely brilliant goal. It really was.
It was a cracker. It was a cracker. I mean, I think he had time and space. And I think it's kind of endemic that our movement is a bit poor. And that's why he's going, right, I'm going to bang it. And wow, he really did. Oh, Nina 987 is in the box. Hello, Nina. Neil Vergela's in there. Bilal's in there. I'll tell you what, all the old favourites. Right, now you're all in there. Give us a bloody like, please. It would be appreciated. Come on, get on with it. James Duggan's in there. Right. Carl, I'm going to stick with you on this one then. Next thing, Ozil scoring. Beautiful bit of build-up play and a fantastic finish, which he actually knocks into the ground to keep down to confuse the keeper. It was fantastic.
Ozil is the enigma. It was a very good passing play because I think we robbed it sort of. I think it was Jack who robbed it, and I think it went wide to Ozil, and Ozil just kept him running. He done a 1-2 with Lacazette, absolutely brilliant by Lacazette.
What's up, Carl?
I don't know.
Carl, where have you gone? I just got to blow my nose. That's why I'm back. Okay, let's go back. Your thoughts on the Ozil goal, because it was a wonderful bit of interplay.
Yeah, he played a nice little 1-2 with Lacazette, who, although he didn't get on the score sheet tonight, I thought he played really well. I thought he worked really hard. He was asked to do something that's maybe not his game. Sort of, we're playing a lot of long balls up towards him. And it's, like I said, it's not something in his game. He's not a big player. He's a small player, but he's good with his feet. He's good at getting behind. He's got good movement. He's a good finisher. And he worked his ass off today. And it's something that we praise Giroud for as well. He's a player that might not necessarily get the goals, but does work hard. And I think today Lacazette did work well. He's obviously got himself to assist there. He took up a good position and he laid it off to Ozil. Then still had quite a bit to do. That is quite a tight angle for him to finish. And he just coolly slotted it away past Mignolet. And it was a nice goal. And it's something to go from, like I said, we're all worrying at half time we could have been more behind, and then we went 2-0 down, and then we equalised, or we scored one, and then we equalised, and then Ozil pops up with it. And it's from the space of, I think, the 52nd minute was Zala's goal, and then Ozil's gone and put us in the lead in the 58. It was a complete turnaround. It's a shame, obviously, we couldn't hold on to it, but it was a good goal nonetheless.
It was such a turnaround in less than 5 minutes, and you know, three cracking goals, really, really chuffed to them. You know, especially that last one, because I think it just showed exactly how good we can be. Do you know what I mean? It showed exactly how good we can be, and you know, the interplay was fantastic. It was all the pressure was on them at that point, and they were falling apart. And rightfully so, they were falling apart because we were playing some good stuff. But, Carl's back, is he? Is Carl back?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, BT Internet had a bit of a wobble, but I am most definitely back.
Guess who's in the chat box?
Don't tell me Danny's there.
No, Danny's there.
Danny's gone.
Hello, David. I love David so much. It's unreal. Like, no one understands how much... Do you know, just a quick story. When we met David, when we went out... to the new, was it the West Brom game? No, it was a Bournemouth game. Like, genuinely, David was the person I wanted to meet so much. Like, the guy's just, he's like everyone's granddad. I love him. He's so knowledgeable and he's the most kindest person ever. Seriously, everyone go and follow David on Goonaholic on Twitter. Seriously, everyone needs to follow him.
We love you, David.
He is the godfather of blogging and a fine, fine gentleman. Yeah, you know, there's no words that can describe how much we love Dave. So, you know, that back to the game. The third goal's gone in. At this point, we're looking really, really good. We're looking really good. And you kind of know it's not over. You kind of know, let's not get cocky. You know, I've seen us defend. You know, we don't cover our back four at all in any way, shape, or form. We don't cover the midfield from the top. And, well, Carl, describe the equaliser from Liverpool. Go on.
Well,
make my fucking day.
It's a bit comical because they have a corner. It gets headed out by Xhaka and Alexis picks up the ball. Now, Alexis, he almost heads it back into play to Salah, which is really weird and I don't get. Salah plays a 1-2 with Jan, and I think it's meant to be a 1-2, but it ends up going to Firmino. And Firmino just literally controls the ball and hits it first time. And Cech tries to get a hand to it. And again, if Cech goes with two hands, I think he saves it. But he goes up with two hands, but only gets one hand on the ball. Again, when Salah gets the ball, he just runs into our midfield. It is so weird. He just literally just runs in and no one picks him up. I don't understand that. When Firmino kicks the ball, he's got three Arsenal defenders around him, but he still manages to get the shot off. And yes, I understand, don't foul in the box, but a bit more pressure. You've got to apply pressure to people in the box. And again, it just shows the comical defending. And that's the only word you can use. It is absolutely comical defending. With Arsenal, I don't understand how Salah, probably the most dangerous player in the Premiership right now, maybe even in Europe, can run 20, 30 yards in on our goal, manage to get a 1-2, and then you have three Arsenal defenders around you, and Firmino still managed to get a shot off. You know, should Cech have done better? Yes, I'm sorry. Cech 100% should have done better. The shot may have been hard, or, you know, you maybe I'm looking for excuses to defend Cech, but for me, Cech should have saved that.
That's fair comment. I missed the goal, unfortunately. But Ellis, a lot of people giving Cech a lot of stick tonight. But in all fairness, okay, when he's got a bunch of clowns in front of him, should we expect better? Because he's like the rabbit in the headlights. Because our defending is, and I use a technical term here, our defending is dog shit. Not one of our players tonight comes out of this game with any credit defensively whatsoever. Embarrassing. And when people talk up Koscielny, Monreal, or whatever, and we put another performance like this in, you know, we've given the game away against United. We've shipped more goals than Swansea City this season, I believe.
Wow.
Okay, we've shipped more goals than Swansea City, and yet people think, you know, we're doing this well. It's an embarrassment. So, is this all down to Cech? Because people get happy to give him a hard time. I don't see them digging out Koscielny. I don't see them digging out the midfield. I don't see them digging out other parts of the team, yet you defend from the top. And I know, you know, yes, Sanchez has made a stupid mistake here, but what are we expecting from these guys at the moment? Go on.
Well, your first point, I'll go back to check. Like, I think it says a lot to go from having the Chelsea defence, who are very organised, no matter who was in charge of them in the period that Cech was there. They were always organised defensively. They were always protected. They had the likes of like Michael Essien, Ballack, and players like that who were protected the back four, and the back four organised offensively. They had guys. He is a massive cunt, but John Terry was a good defender at the end of the day. You had leaders like that. You had Cahill as well. And like, I think that says a lot. Yes, I have issues around Cech's goalkeeping. I think he's probably not as good, and I think it'd be a fair criticism to say he's not as good as he has been. He's getting old, he's getting on a bit. He's not going to be as fit and as agile and as quick as he was 5 years ago. And that's just how age works, that's how a career as a footballer works. But a lot has to be said about the players in front of him. I think he made a couple of good saves. Like, there was a save in the first half against Salah. I think he made a perfectly good save, but there's only so much you can do. Yes, I think it's a position that we should look to strengthen in. Behind him, we haven't really got anyone of note coming through. So it is a position that we are going to have to try and strengthen as a club. If Arsenal are serious, are going to have to strengthen, because he's what, probably got two years in him?
We sold one of the best young keepers in Europe this season.
Yeah, but you say that, Jace. He was at Roma and he had a good defence in front of him. What'd he be like with our defence in front of him?
No. He did not have a good defence in front of him. Ask John Welsh. He did not have a good defence.
I bet they were, as an Italian team, I bet they were more organised than our defences.
No, they weren't, apparently. Ask John.
Oh, really?
Ask John Welsh. Yeah.
All right.
You know, that is not the case. It's a misconception. Mm-hmm. Didn't concede a goal from outside his box either. You know, and this is the problem where
I don't know, John will probably argue with me as well. The quality of the teams that are coming up in Serie A, except from obviously the sort of top tier of that, aren't going to be the same as the ones that are coming up against in the Premier League.
Not being funny, mate, okay? You know, you've got a top quality goalkeeper who Juventus want, and we sell him. No.
I'm not defending you, Jason. I'm not defending. I'm just saying that the defence in front of him is still, he's going to have to make a lot more saves regardless of who he's at, I think, personally. And your point was the defence doesn't help Peter Cech at all. The defence doesn't help anyone, really. And the people in front of the defence don't help the defence, because as a team, we don't defend well enough.
It's embarrassing. James Duggan put in the box, we should buy Pogba and Messi. To think that we'd buy anybody is...
What, and put Messi in our back line? Play him at left back.
Yeah, that would be the way, wouldn't it? That would be the way. Carl, let's wrap up the game. And we're going to go to questions. If anybody wants questions, get a question in, guys, pop them in now and we'll have a look at it. We got a few already, but we'll wrap up the game because at 3-all, I'd had a gutsful.
Gutsful. I thought maybe there could be a winner in it, but I didn't know if I felt happy that we got a draw from being 2-0 down or deflated that we didn't get the win after being 3-2 up. You know, it was such an Arsenal game. It was unbelievable. Like, when we really want to turn on the style, it just shows that we can. We can get goals if we really want to. You know, again, even if you look at the Man United game, even though we lost that game, how many shots do we have on goal? And only because we came up against a world-class goalkeeper. But then, if you look at it from a non-Arsenal point of view, you think to yourself, how can you have that many shots on goal and not win? This game, I think, just summed up the best and the worst of Arsenal. Attacking, going forward, yeah, very, very good. Defending, absolutely poor. And it's week after week after week, we have poor defending. And we know that there needs to be some sort of intervention into why we're so bad. You know, when we come against Liverpool, you know what expected of them. So why aren't the defence playing better than they are? You know, Liverpool's front four, brilliant. You know, I ain't giving them credit, but they are very, very good. At the same time, you know, our front four, five, however you want to look at it, are very, very good as well. But today just summed up as the most Arsenal game you could possibly think of. And the thing is, when I say that, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Everyone will say, yeah, you're right. Brilliant going forward, shit, defending. And it's been like this for years and years. And Jason, you and I have been doing these for actually ages. And we talk about the same thing over and over again. What's going to change? If the person in charge, and I like when Danny comes on and he says, you know, for years and years, exactly the same. And you change the players and we still do exactly the same thing. You change the coaching staff and we still do exactly the same thing. What's the one only ever present? Arsene Wenger.
Now, Bill ain't here.
Shut up.
Don't be a tart. You know, your thoughts on the game, Ellis. Go on, let's have it.
I suppose before the game, I forgot to give my prediction into Danny, as always, but I wasn't confident. I thought we might get battered. I could see us, before the game, you could probably say we went scoring, we were creating chances or we weren't creating clear-cut chances. Defensively, we're a bit poor. Offensively, we're a bit poor. We're not really in good shape. And Liverpool, even though we all know defensively they're frail, going forward, they're scary. And I thought this could probably be another 3-4-0. It'd just be a case of whether we can switch on and play well and grind out a result and play a game plan. I think against, in the North London derby, I know it's a derby and it's different to against like Liverpool. I didn't give us much hope then, and we managed to get a good result, and we played really well, probably the best we've played all season. So to go in, come out of a draw when I thought we'd probably get battered, I should be happy. But again, like Kyle said, to be ahead and then still draw, it is a bit shit. But I'd probably say happy is my overall feeling so far. It could have been a lot worse, let's be honest.
I got to be honest, after that first half performance, I'm furious. You know, same old shit, different day, same old lack of organisation, same old mistakes, same old utter incompetence in defence, okay? You know, midfield going Houdini when we're defending, the bloody, you know, the defenders running around like headless chickens. No cover whatsoever for our left and right back. No coverage for the midfield where, you know, when they've got to defend in the middle from up top. It's a shambles from start to finish there. And, you know, when we were 3-2 up, we had all the pressure and they'd kind of fallen apart and we couldn't capitalise on that. And, you know, when we talk about us being good at a good attacking team, I haven't seen that recently. Tonight, three goals, decent, yes. We could hardly score. We only just scored against Newcastle. We couldn't score against West Ham. And against United, you know, more shots than you could throw at a bloody tin roof, and still we missed. You know, it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough from start to finish. And you can look for positives all you want. Until you actually look at the negatives and work on them, nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's ever going to change. And I'm really disappointed tonight because I think Liverpool are fantastic going forward, but I think they're there for the taking. And, you know, when we got our fans who take the piss out of Pep or out of other clubs, and you watch the way we play football at the moment, wrong with that, I think that's utter delusion. Utter fucking delusion. Utter delusion of the highest order, because we are not the football team on the pitch that we should be. And until we play a formation which suits the personnel we have available, and they all understand it, and they all work to it, and they all play disciplined roles when defending, you know, if everybody's done what they can do, it's like the first goal, you know, you can't account for that deflection, but you can account for Salah having fucking 20 yards to run into. And the left back not knowing where he is. You can account for that. You can't account for the deflection, but you can do things to stop it getting there. Same old shit. It doesn't matter who you put in these positions. We keep on making the same mistakes. And Arsene Wenger's got a lot to answer for. Right, that's it. I've had a little rant. I'm happy now. Questions? Yeah. I got my arse in my hands. Not happy. Twats and spamming the chat box. I don't know.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes. Bah humbug. Bah humbug. You know, you can stick your Christmas. You know, we've been far too kind to Liverpool today already. Carl, Rudy Wilson asks, do you guys not think Sanchez gives the ball away too often? Against a team like Liverpool, not great.
Yeah, of course. Sanchez is forever giving away the ball. I think there was a stat going around that he gave the ball away 30-odd times in one game, and then he beat that stat when we played Man United by giving away the ball again 30-odd times. You know, Eddie said it best, the guy's head is not here. It's not here, and Arsene Wenger I don't know why he can't see it, but, you know, you need to get rid of him. I hate to say he's a poison on the team, but he's not doing the team very well. But again, like Ellie said, who else in the Arsenal squad would have got the same goal that he got tonight? Not one player, I don't think. I don't think there's any a player in our team, maybe barring Giroud, that would have got in the back post and tried to get the head on the ball. So I can see why he's playing him, but at the same time, I think he's causing issues within our squad.
Yeah, he's got that spark of brilliance. The talent's undoubtedly did. It's just the fact of the application this season. And, you know, anybody thinking he's had a good season, well, they're watching the wrong sport. Arsene Lamar asks, why is Kolasinac benched?
I don't know, to be honest. I think he obviously played... Did he play the full 90 against West Ham? Pretty sure he did.
I think he did.
Yeah. So that's probably a big reason why he's benched. Why Wenger's decided to play him in that game and not play someone else and then play Maitland-Niles at left back, I don't really know. Possibly in his head is Ainsley Maitland-Niles has got a bit of pace in him and maybe he could cope better than Kolasinac or Monreal could. But then you've got to think those two are defenders by trade. They should be able to cope with, well, maybe not cope with someone, but do a better job than poor old Ainsley Maitland-Niles and give him, like you say, a run out in the midfield. So I don't know why it's the answer to that question.
He was bang average. I mean, he was actually piss poor against United, Kolasinac was.
He's not in great form. I suppose he has been playing left wing back where he's got license to roam forward a bit more. And in this left back role against Liverpool, he'd probably have to be a bit more reserved. And maybe he was thinking, I don't know why he might be thinking, maybe thought Ainsley Maitland-Niles would be more reserved than an actual left back. Who knows?
but yeah, well, why would you play a midfielder out of, another thing which grinds my frigging goat.
There is not a manager in the league that will play a centre mid at left back when you have a fit left back on the bench.
Jürgen Klopp.
There is.
Jürgen Klopp played for the whole season.
look who it was though. Look who the left back was.
Moreno, mate, he's a boss.
Okay, Don't take a piss, behave. Luke 73 asks, Maitland-Niles should be in central midfield. Excellent tonight. Well, he should be in central midfield, but he was not excellent tonight. He was not even good tonight. Defensively, he did not know. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not his fault. He's a midfielder playing at left back, but you can see, you know, he's still learning. You know, he's learning the role. You know, you can see it was obvious for everyone to see. Carl. Joe V 82 asks, our favourite Joe V, he's top man. Would you have changed our formation at half time? If so, which one?
Yes, I said it in our group. I would have gone 4-3-3. I would have taken off Iwobi. I would have put Ainsley Maitland-Niles in midfield, and I would have bought on Kolasinac. I've gone 4-3-3. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Ellis, Michael Hanneman asks, what does Iwobi actually do to maintain his place in the team? If that was Pep at Man City or Jose at United, he'd have been dropped by now.
Well, yeah, he would have if it was Pep or Jose. I completely agree with him. Like I said earlier when I was talking about Iwobi, I think he's there purely out of the lack of options. It is a case of either changing the formation up a bit and playing, I think you mentioned probably playing Mesut Ozil out there and Sanchez in the wing, but those two both like to roam and drift inside and don't really stick to their position. So then do they offer protection to the fullbacks? Probably not. For me, if I was going to pick the team and if we were going to stick with the formation we stuck with today, I'd rather have Welbeck out there than Iwobi. I think Welbeck probably prefers to be a striker, but you saw him being utilised by Ferguson one of his time at Man United on the wings because he's got a great work ethic and he does track back and help out as fullback. And that's who I'd rather have. Whether that kills Iwobi's development is another thing. At the end of the day, like the bloke is answering the question, if it was a ruthless manager like Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho, Iwobi wouldn't be getting the team. He would have been dropped because of his poor performance.
I think he'd go through the bloody door. Corey Austin's asks, Jason, should we shoot more? You're a git, but if we can get in the position, that would be nice. Carl, Jack Joseph asks, are we going to buy in January?
I would hope so. Every January, I hope we do. And usually we end up don't. I think as all the noise about Sanchez staying by Arsene Wenger, surely they've got to make a decision to sell him. And even if you get 25 mil for him, you know, because at the end of the day, he could walk away for three in January. So getting 25 mil is better than getting nothing. I think we need to probably take that 25 mil. But at the same time, even if he does go to Man City, does Sanchez get into the Man City squad? And if so, for who? I truly can't see him getting into the Man City squad because he doesn't. So, I don't know if it's more about making Arsenal weaker rather than making Man City stronger. I don't know. But for me, if you...
On his form this season, mate, he's not making anybody weaker.
Yeah. So you got to think to yourself, if we do get a bid of about 25 mil, we've got to accept it because having him walking away for three is ludicrous. It really is, no matter how you look at it, it is. So, and then, you know, we talked about Lamar. Does he come in January? I have no idea. Chris Carpenter's probably the best person to ask for that, but I think sentiment...
God, don't ask Carpenter. Don't ask Carpenter.
He's ITK, doesn't he? He's French ITK. But no, definitely we need to strengthen centre midfield. I think that is a priority, and also centre back.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ayush Ahuja asks, who will be more disappointed today? I'm going to take this one. I don't give a fuck because I'm disappointed. I'm the one who's disappointed.
It's all about
today.
You.
Yeah, it is. Shower of shit when I should be in the boozer getting lashed up, wishing myself a Merry Christmas, doing terrible things and getting up to absolutely no good and have to watch us defend like that. I'm disappointed. No comment. Ellis, Nina97 asks, why are we so damn inconsistent?
Because we're shit. You know, it's because it's Arsenal. It's how we are at the moment. Like, how are you meant to answer that question? I'm sorry, Neil, I can't answer that question seriously. You know, you probably know why we're so inconsistent. It's because this is what Arsenal have been like for the last X amount of years. Yeah, we've got a few FA Cups, but we're going to say, I don't want to say it again because it just boils down to the one constant. But the sporing, let's not talk about that. It's because we're Arsenal, that's why we're inconsistent.
Thank you. My bullet says, did we, this is for you, Carl. Did we lose the first half because of tactics or because of lack of hunger? Is Wenger to blame for the first half?
We can't always, I know it's a rhetoric and we always want to blame Arsene Wenger, but Arsene Wenger picks a system that he believes in and he picks the players to go out and execute that system. Now, yes, you can put a portion of the blame to Arsene Wenger, but if the players don't do the basics right, now, if you know that a player is going to run off you, run with the player. Like, why do you let a player run 30, 40 yards and not track him? Why do you get drawn towards the ball and leave a player unmarked? Even if you're not coached, that's basic, and you should know that as a professional footballer. So the portion of blame goes to Arsene Wenger and the players as well. But for me, it was more the players on the pitch who didn't execute a plan. Because I'm very much doubt Arsene Wenger just went out there and said, oh, you know what, let them run in our goal and go towards the ball and let them have shots at our goal. He's not going to say that. Let's be honest. Although we may hate Arsene Wenger's tactics and say we don't get defensive training, I guarantee Arsene Wenger didn't say that to them. So it's more, I think, the players on the pitch who didn't execute the plan. But I think it's Arsene Wenger's inability to change, even mid-game, to change a plan. So 6-1, half a dozen in the other.
Yeah, he selected the team. When you select AMN at left back, you know, against Salah, you're asking for trouble. I totally agree with that. You know, they're all in this together and they all deserve a bit of a stick. Dave Faber asks, I'm going to take this one. Dave Faber asks, would you consider AMN conservative? In for Xhaka and Kolasinac at left back. Yes, I would, Dave, but again, I'd move to a three-man midfield because I don't think that we have a central partnership. You know, if you look at the strong central partnership that we have in midfield, who's done well against the big teams, you're looking at Xhaka and Ramsey. But Xhaka has been off colour recently. There's no getting away from it. But I don't think Jack's got the legs to do it, you know. First time in how many years he's played three consistent league games for us, consecutive league games for us, and he's not got the pace to get up and down a la Ramsey. Quality to play the holding role? Not sure. He's done it for England, but again, it's the Premier League's a different kettle of fish. But I think if you mixed up Maitland-Niles, Ramsey, and Jack, you could be onto something, you know, because there's plenty of hunger in those guys. And, you know, Jack and Ramsey are always brave. You know, they always want the ball. They're always working that way. And I think Maitland-Niles looks exactly the same way. This, Jeff Johar asks, thoughts on the Mikel Arteta rulers? Do you think he could really do... I do think he could really do well learning from Pep at the moment. Go on.
That's quite a big step up for your first managerial role. A club like Arsenal, I know if Saturn would criticise them, but they are still a big club and it's still a pressure area to go in. Can you imagine your first job as a manager going into a club, taking over from Arsene Wenger, depending on when Arsene Wenger does leave, whether he sees out his contract or if he leaves at the end of this season or signs another one, who bloody knows? I think it's going to be pretty fucking vitriolic with the fan base and it's not a good atmosphere to go in. Whether he as a coach could cope, I don't know. He's obviously learning from a good coach. Pep's been to won it with Barcelona, won it with Bayern Munich. He's obviously going to win it this season pretty much, isn't he? I can't see anyone else challenging him. He's a guy who knows how to coach, and Mikel Arteta as well has come up through the ranks through Barcelona when he was a child, so he knows how to play a certain style of football. And he's also, you've got, like, if we have criticised Arsene Wenger, he's also probably learned some stuff from Arsene Wenger as well as a player. So I think I don't think he's capable of taking over after Arsene Wenger. I think someone else will need to come in. Would I like to see him in the future? Not as his first job. Yeah, probably I would, but not as his first job for Arsenal. it's a big ask for him, really, personally.
Yeah, it's an awfully big ask, isn't it? You know, you've got to be some character to take over a Premier League club with only sort of a year or two's coaching under your belt, especially a club the size of Arsenal. Right, a couple more questions. We're going to wrap this up, guys. I'm still annoyed. Really, I am. I'm going to answer the next one, and then we're going to all answer the last one. Joe Madeira again asks, why do footballers lack confidence when they earn so much money and are global superstars? Bottom line, Joe, they're human beings. And no matter how much money you earn, no matter how many people tell you you're brilliant, if you don't have true confidence in your ability and your knowledge on what you're doing, you're going to have self-doubt. And when that starts to crumble, it's a terrible thing. You know, we've seen the highlighting in recent years of mental health issues. You know, as a Welshman, I look at the Gary Speed incident and I still can't believe it. To this day, I still can't believe he's gone. You know, we give players a hard time on you, but we're trying to be constructive as well. But the bottom line is, when you're out there and the eyes of the world or the eyes of the country are upon you, whatever it is, and, you know, people will give you stick, and sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly, you know, a lot can go wrong. It's all well and good having a Bentley. It's all well and good not having to worry about any bills. It's all well and good having millions in the bank. But if your top 2 inches, if you haven't got true confidence in who you are as a human being, as a footballer, and your ability, then you can be in real trouble. And that's that. JH asks, guys, I'm going to start with you, Ellis. What would you like to see as far as team selection moving forward?
So difficult, because I just don't think we've got the squad really to rotate and change it around, all the players to play the position. I'd like to see it, what we have done, and move to a back four. I'd like to see players who are defenders and left backs playing in left backs and defending positions, not having square pegs and round holes. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see probably a back four of Staffy, Koscielny, and then either Monreal or Kolasinac at left back, and then Benner at right back, purely because there's no one really else to pick other than Debuchy. I'd like to see a 4-3-3 as well. Not sure whether I want Ainsley Maitland-Niles in there or not. I'd trial him and then have Xhaka and Wilshere there. And then, like you said earlier, Jason, probably similar to you, I'd trial Ozil and Sanchez on one wing with Lacazette and see how that goes, whether they can help track back or not. It's like John Wells put a comment in there about Ozil still doesn't do it and he does roam around, so it's not really going to offer our fullbacks that much protection. But part of me would like to see Sanchez dropped maybe for Welbeck.
Okay. Carl?
I would like to see a 4-3-3. I think Bellerin needs a few games out or maybe a little rest. So I would definitely have Debuchy back in the squad, because I think he played well. Yes, he played well against a dog shit West Ham side, but you can only play what's in front of you. So trial him. I would have Debuchy in the squad for a while. I would definitely go for a 4-3-3, but like Ellis, I don't think I'd have Ainsley Maitland-Niles there. I would probably go for, if we had a fully foot squad, you have to put Ramsey in there, Xhaka and Jack. See how that works. If not, if that's too attacking, then you'll probably have to go for a Ramsey, Xhaka, just for his passing prowess, and also one of El Nene or Coquelin. But at the same time, you need to tell Coquelin, you see that halfway line? You don't cross it. You don't go past that halfway line. All you're there to do is to clean up whatever comes behind that halfway line. And if you limit his game, if you ask him to do too much, he can't. That's when he gets all confused. If you tell him just to sit, don't go past that halfway line. And what you do is just you clean up tactical fouling, you know, and that's what you do. And that's what I'd like to see. I would drop Sanchez because I think he's a liability in our squad. But at the same time, your heart's thinking, yes, you want to drop him, but your head's thinking, who else in the squad is there? You know, do you put Iwobi there? What do you do? You just don't know. So, unfortunately, I think we're limited with the players that we have in what we can do. You could say Welbeck, and you could give Welbeck the chance, and I think he would do well there. I just think he's, for all the effort that Welbeck has, and he's got a lot of effort, his finishing is absolutely atrocious. It really is. But, you know, does that make, does his finishing, or lack of finishing, make up for all the running that he does? So that's what I would like.
Fair enough. I'd get Tony Pulis in to work with the defence for a bit. Really would.
Why is that Chris now?
Yeah.
We've let in more goals than Swansea City. Anybody defend that shit? How can they? We are a fucking embarrassment defensively, and it's not getting any better. You know, we ship in 10 goals against Bayern Munich last season. We don't learn. We gave, you know, we ship in 4 goals against Liverpool beginning the season. We don't learn. Against United, we got 3 assists for their 3 goals. We don't learn. You know, it's this side of it where until we actually look at the areas which are killing us and actually look at them honestly and acknowledge them and deal with them, we're not going to get any better. It's really embarrassing. It's really, really embarrassing that we defend the way we do, and it's throughout the team. As for on the pitch, yeah, I'd drop Iwobi. I'd give him a bit of loan time. I don't think a loan is the end of your career. I think sometimes you need it, and I think he needs to work in his decision making, and maybe not such a high pressure environment will help him. Kolasinac back in at left back, yes. He had a bad game against United. Let's not crucify the game. The guy, you know, we saw Koscielny have an absolute horror against United. You know, we see certain players get away with murder within this team, and other players not, you know, get away scot-free. And, you know, the time has come where, you know, you have to look to replace Koscielny. You're going to have to look to replace a couple of players. And, you know, we've still got Ozil and Sanchez with less than a year left in the contracts run down. So, do you know what? For all the stick Theo gets, I'd drop Sanchez for him, no problem. Because at least he will offer you a goal threat. He may screw it up quite often, but I'd rather somebody wants to be with us. You know, people talk about commitment. Commitment is signing the contract. So, I'm kind of done with it all. I'm not done with it all, but, you know, it's the moment.
But you're done with it, but we'll still be here next week cheering on. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we do this because we love them. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, we're still going to be here. At the end of the day, yes, it's going to take a lot of changes for us to improve. And we need to improve. And we need to improve quickly because this top four, and that's, you know, that's the goal right now, is not promised to anybody. You know, you've got Liverpool who are there or thereabouts, Man United. You've got the scum. You've got Chelsea, and Man City are in the league of their own at the moment. So, you know, this top four is going to be very hard to get into.
To be honest, you know, you watch Liverpool tonight, they've got more screw-ups down the line coming. You know they're going to lose a few shockers. You know, you look at Chelsea, they're not great. You look at Tottenham, they're not great. You know, stronger than us, unfortunately. And Jose knows how to win games. But, you know, you're on a different level. They're on a different level to everybody. But, you know, I mean, yeah, we'll be here because guess what? Arsenal is my crack cocaine. And the chat box, as usual, we've got 188 people in the chat box right now. And, you know, once again, thank you ever so much. You've been superb again tonight. We've had to ban a couple of dickheads, but there you go. That's life. You know, thank you all for your contribution. You're the reason we do this because, you know, it's funny watching that chat box. It's absolutely superb at times. Some of the discussion is excellent. Some of the banter's top notch. And, you know, enjoy, you know, talking to you all on Twitter, etc. You are rock stars. Well done. My thanks to Ellis. Ellis, cheers, pal.
Thank you very much for having me on. Shame we couldn't get a win, but yeah, it's just the way it is. It's football, and I think we shouldn't get too negative because it is Christmas time. This will just get drunk and pretend.
If you're going to be Mr. Happy, I'm going to shoot you. You're not going to make it. You're not going
to do what you want, mate. Come all the way from Wales and shoot me. I'll still be happy. I'll smile when I die.
It would have been with a water pistol full of vodka.
Oh well, make me even more happy.
Absolutely, pal. Absolutely. Carl, top man. Thank you, bro.
Anytime, Jason, anytime. Look, I'm not going to be a Chris Carpenter and say, you know, well, we didn't lose. And everyone who's a Klopp painter, well, there you go. Klopp, he couldn't do any better, because that's exactly what Chris would say if he was here. But same time, like I said, this is the job we're here.
Yeah, as always. Carpenter by now saying, no, and Klopp's a fraud, but they've scored 17 goals against us since he's been there.
Yeah, but they still can't defend.
God love Chris Carpenter. You've got to love the man. Yeah, guys, that's it for us tonight. Thank you ever so much for watching and being part of it. Give us a thumbs up if you like to, a thumbs down if you don't want to. And have a fantastic Christmas. For whatever religion you are, I don't give a monkeys. Have a lovely Christmas, okay? Enjoy yourselves. And keep it Arsenal.